What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Yanks of the Cop. We are here, 2-0 victory, top three berth secured. Unbelievable. We are all absolutely buzzing. Post-match reactions. We're your hosts, Steve and Sophie. And we have two very special guests joining us right now from the Cop On podcast. I know you know who he is. We got Owen here from the Cop On. Owen, thank you for joining us, mate. How the hell are you feeling right now?
Well, thanks very much for hosting me. It's absolute pleasure to be here. I'm thrilled. I'm elated. The thought of getting third at the start of the day was not on the plate. It wasn't on my plate. It wasn't even on my side table, or wasn't even, you know, in the kitchen, in the cupboard. It was nowhere near the apartment of my mind. But now it's here. It's been on the plate. I'm enjoying it. I'm still ingesting the fact that we finished third in the Premier League, having had the most torrid time. No one's fault, just the injuries, all the bad luck, and to finish third is just—it's a remarkable achievement. And everybody deserves a heck of a lot of credit. 7 wins, 2 draws from the last 9 matches. I mean, this is Michelangelo. How Michelangelo finished one of his sculptures, isn't it? It's pure. It's beauty.
Oh my God! Absolutely. I mean, I literally just got goosebumps after you saying all of that right there. I mean, Sophie, I know you and I were watching that live together. It's been an hour now. How are you feeling about all of this?
I'm still fucking buzzing. Like, I'm not going to be as eloquent as Owen, you know, with his lovely analogies and that. I'm just going to go straight from the "we fucking got third."
Like, very valid.
I, you know what? I'm not even going to try and be all like poetic and have these lovely analogies and all that. Just fuck you, Everton. Fuck you, Chelsea. Fuck you, Leicester. Fuck you, Sky Sports. Yes.
Oh, I love that. That's my speed right there. Everyone in the chat, we appreciate you, Dominic. Congrats, Reds. Thank you very much. We love it. Thanks for joining in, Eric. Sol was trying so hard. He was. We're gonna touch on that in just a minute. But get in, Reds, from Seamus. Get in, you know, third place. We love that. J Doc here, welcome back, man. Appreciate you. Klopp's worst side of 4 points behind Ollie's best side. Love that. Absolutely love that. I have to check the league table and pinch myself again. Fucking third. Absolutely right. Alan here. Hi, everyone. Love Owen's voice. It's so soothing. Absolutely. He could just rock me to bed tonight with that voice. Tell me a little bedtime story and I'll be right out. Oh my God. And a nice little FU to Martin Tyler. So we definitely appreciate that here. Definitely appreciate that. Full of emotion. I think we all are. Unbelievable match, unbelievable win. And like you said, Owen, just the running of games. You know, I remember Mo Salah tweeted out back in February that, you know, how things were going bad, how we were going to fight until the end. And I think it was something like 37 out of a possible 40 points, or 27 out of a possible 30, something like that. Just that end of run that we had is absolutely fantastic, you know. And I said a lot of times that I thought the mentality monsters were gone. And, you know, hand up to me, I got that wrong. Because they showed their true colors over this run-in, having to win 5 out of 5. They win all 5. And just all the excuses that we could have made to not make top 4. And now, since Fergie's retirement, we are now the second team next to Man City to finish top 4 after winning the title the year before. Unbelievable stat. Unbelievable. I just don't know what to say. Mixed emotions because obviously Gini Wijnaldum as well going to be exiting. I know Sophie means so much to you. It means so much to me too. But what are your thoughts on him captaining his last match, getting a curtain call, you know, him getting subbed out, roaring Gini Wijnaldum song being sung, and then getting his own personal champions wall? You know, what did you think of that send off for him? And also, we're going to have a Gini appreciation night, but just high level, what do you think about Gini? And I know I was emotional watching him come off the pitch today.
Gini Wijnaldum. The banner, it said Gini Veni Vidi Vici. It was absolutely beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's been, and today was like the perfect game. He was, it was such a wonderful performance to, I mean, assuming, I mean, you have to go if you get the leaving gift, right? I don't know. Assuming he is going to go. And it's just like the way he played. It's something that took me years. I've been running a Coppon for like 3 years now, almost 4 years. Wow. And I was just checking the year. It's 2021. And it took me a while to sort of find the right way of describing it, I think. But with Jeannie Wijnaldum, it's like there's so much. I mean, it's a cliche to say that it's the work that you don't notice. But today you could see it. And because so many eyes were on him, so many eyes would have actually seen just how, I mean, press resistant they say he is, but just how difficult he is in space, how he uses his shoulders, how he uses his entire body to protect the ball, the touches with the right foot, the left foot, his balance is mad. And the way that he's tactically aware. I'm 41 years old. I started supporting Liverpool in the late 80s. And I remember Ronnie Whelan being the player that was really like, you know, people didn't really understand what he did, or he's very similar to Jeannie Wijnaldum, very similar player, extremely technically gifted, extremely tidy with the ball, brilliant at protecting it, knowing when to play things quickly, when to play things slowly, knowing when to turn with the ball or when to just get rid of it, or, you know, but not just whacking it, you know, playing a longer pass. He's a wonderful, wonderful player, and we're gonna miss him. Let's assume he's gone. I'm gonna miss him so much, as I'm sure you both are, and everybody watching this, or everybody in the comments. Hello to everybody. But I'm gonna miss him so badly. I mean, if we got a replacement lined up, he'd better be good.
Yeah, I completely agree with that assessment. I mean, he's gonna be a tough player to replace, not only just because of his ability on the pitch, but his availability. You know, he was Mr. Reliable for us. Klopp always called his number in the big matches. But, I mean, especially just look at all the injuries that we had to start the season, and especially missing Henderson and Thiago to start the season, only having him and Fabinho at times, and having to put Fabinho at center back at times. Like, he was the one guy that we had consistently play for us in the midfield.
I've got a stat about that, a really interesting one. Apparently, we played an average of 53 games a season in all competitions since Jeannie Wijnaldum joined, and he's played an average of 47 out of those 53. How do you replace that? It's unbelievable.
That is irreplaceable, and I love that stat because, you know, I know a lot of Liverpool fans. I shouldn't say a lot, but there's a small section of Liverpool fans that, you know, give him a lot of slander and give him a lot of slack sometimes. And honestly, he's the definition of professional in my book. He's a great ambassador for Liverpool, in my opinion. Just works hard, goes under the radar. But when he's not in there, you do notice that there's a difference in there. But Sophie, I know he's your baby boy. So, you know what? Yeah, tell me your feelings about watching him today for possibly the last time.
To go. like everyone knows how much Jeannie means to me. Like, I've adored him since we signed him. Like, as Owen just said, the way he reads the game, his ability, his availability, his ability to read the game, to make those passes, to very rarely be dispossessed, playing, you know, what was it, 48 out of 53 games since he signed for us, he's played. You know, and he always puts his all in for everything he's done for us. And I think any Liverpool fan should be grateful that he was part of our team for as long as he was. And I wish him all the best going forward. But I'm devastated that we couldn't come to an agreement over a new contract with him. I think he's going to be so difficult to replace. And this small minority of fans who believe that Jeannie should just go and we're not going to miss him and he's not a legend, I think when next season rolls around, they're going to really realise the gap he's left in that midfield. He is one in a million type of player. He's not a superstar. He's not a standout player like Virgil van Dijk or like Mohamed Salah. But he controls that midfield and he plays his own game very, very well. And finding somebody who's tactically match for match is going to be very, very difficult, if not near impossible. Watching Jeannie come on and captain the game, normally I'd say Genie shouldn't be a captain, but I think that was a perfect send-off for him. Yep. That was just an ultimate sign of respect from Klopp. What he wrote in the pre-match program about him, what Hendo said, you know, I don't just respect Genie, I adore him, like every on and off the pitch. I think it shows how high regard he was held by everybody, club captain, out, you know, fans, you know, the actual manager himself. He's an amazing person. And you can see that, not even as a football player, he's just a wonderful person. And then watching him on the, you know, the walk around Anfield at the end when they're all clapping, and you just saw how sad he was as well. Like, you know, like the realisation that this is the last time he'll walk around Anfield as a Liverpool player. And then he got the Guards of Honour and I was near crying. I was sat there. And then when they brought out the mini Champions Wall for him, I could have sat there and cried, because I just think, what a lovely way to say goodbye to such a fantastic player. And I think he'll be very, very sorely missed. And, you know, he wants to move on for his last bit of his career, and that's fine by me. I will wish him the best of luck everywhere, but I'm going to be very sad for a very long time without Genie.
No, me too. And, you know, there was a question in here about, you know, who we're going to sign to replace him. And I think Sophie nailed it on the head. I don't know if there's going to be a perfect like-for-like replacement, because, you know, first of all, like Eric says here, he looks absolutely great in Liverpool attire. So that's going to be hard to replace right there. Handsome dude, and that smile, that smile you can't beat. But, you know, it's, you know, Owen said it spot on too, and how he – some of the stuff he's able to do with his body and how he reads the game. You know, I know sometimes it can be frustrating for some people, but it's also needed in a lot of games as well. And it's how he controls the game and sometimes slows it down for us, which is what we need. I don't know, even if we bring in a guy who has the similar attributes, there's nobody who nails the clock press like Genie Wijnaldum does. There's nobody that, again, I don't know, like Owen's stat about availability, you know, averaging about 47 appearances in a 53 game season. Like, that's, I don't know if you're able to replicate that. And I think a lot of people who do slander is Genie this time next year, you know, they're going to say, like, you know, I wish we had a guy like Genie Wijnaldum. You know, it's going to be interesting. Mr. RB with a really good point coming in here. Genie's departure marks the end of the cycle for Klopp's Liverpool Mark One. Onus on owners, Emery, Klopp himself have to build Klopp's Mark II and win silverware again. So I kind of understand that, yeah. But also, you know, I think that kind of shifting away from Genie, I mean, it's thinking about him not being in red is going to be weird. But I wanted to bring up this point here from Alan. Well done to Reece Williams for playing today. Missed the last 3 days of training with a hamstring injury. Oh, and I wanted to get your opinion on not only Reece Williams, but everybody who stepped up to play center back. Nat Phillips, Reece Williams, Ozan Kabak is getting thrown in there as well. We would not be where we are without those guys all stepping up and playing out of their mind.
They, I mean, fabulous. What are the words there? I didn't know that about the hamstring injury. I didn't know. You know, and of course they both got wax, you know, on the eye. Reece Williams needed stitches today. He's 20 years old, Reece Williams. You know, he looks more like a basketball player, doesn't he? Like, he's tall and he's thin, he's sort of lanky, gangly guy. But his the way that Reece Williams stepped up today was, you know, that was like a 32-year-old seasoned pro. That was sort of, you know, someone like Chiellini would have been proud of that performance today, or Bonucci would have been proud of that performance today. Reece Williams was terrific. And, you know, you consider, you know, I did accounts the other day on a show I was on. I think he's the ninth choice centre back. And no team has ever had to deal with that. No team has ever had to play their ninth choice centre back, but no team has got as good a ninth choice centre back as we do, because he's been amazing. Amazing. Klopp chucked him in at Old Trafford. We won the game 4-2. Unbelievable. And then we played, we had, what, 2-3 wins since then? 3 wins since then. I can't keep up. It's too good. It's too good.
Buzzing. Absolutely,
I'm
buzzing.
I'm just going to bring this up. Now, let's not push it. Like, no. There's being what, optimistic, like, and then there's being delusional.
What do you mean? Are you talking about Chiellini and Bonucci? I mean, I reckon they've got posters of Reece Williams on their walls.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they do. But before we go any further, we got to welcome in the lovely Zane. Zane, thank you for joining us. How are you feeling after this victory? Top three.
I'm buzzing. Even though I'm hungover from yesterday, but I'm still buzzing. Like, it's such a good result, and it was so, so stressful, like, until the 60th or 70th minute. I was such a big stress ball, because there was, like, a short period of time when the results were kind of against us when Leicester scored. But I'm so, so happy, and we proved everyone, including probably ourselves, wrong, because it felt impossible, but nothing is impossible with Liverpool.
No, damn right. You're damn right. So we just kind of finished up our thoughts on Gini Wijnaldum's last match and some of the emotions that we had just watching him come off and getting his copy of the Champions Wall. But what was going through your head today watching him captain the team and ultimately the send-off that he got, the guard of honor and everything like that?
To be fair, I cried a bit because, yeah, we haven't had the big player leave in a while, like, last couple of years. So this was, I think, one of the biggest, especially for me, because I'm a relatively new supporter. So it was like kind of the first big player who left, and he's done so much for Liverpool. And you could see in the beginning of the game, he was already emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think he did a great job. He played a good game. I couldn't say anything bad about him. I think besides there was one moment where he could shoot, but he didn't. But it doesn't matter. Like, he's been a great servant, and I think everyone is sad to see him leave, but it is what it is. It happens in football, and we have to move on, but we cannot forget what he has done for Liverpool.
Never forget. I just
want to ask, before we move on from the Gini topic, it's been a hot topic of discussion as of the last few days as to whether Gini Wijnaldum classifies as a Liverpool legend. And I suppose I just kind of wanted all of your opinion, because I know what my opinion would be. Some people are saying yes, he's a legend. Some people are saying no, he's a cult classic type player. And just, what do you guys think? Zane, we'll go with.
I don't know. Like, legend is a big word, and it's hard to say that you are a legend while you're still playing. I think maybe when you look back on the player's career and stuff, you can say he was a legend here and here because he won something. But I don't know, I kind of like, I agree with both sides. Like, I agree with people calling him a legend because there are many valid reasons for it, but then at the same time, when you look at legends like Gerrard or Dalglish, it's a different kind of thing. So it's a very hard to put him into the same like pot. So it's hard to tell. Like, I wouldn't mind people calling him legend, and I wouldn't mind people calling him cult hero. Like, it's very hard to say for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Owen, I kind of agree with that assessment, Zani. But Owen, what are your thoughts on Gini's legacy?
I think he's 100% a legend, and anyone's off their rocker if they don't think that he's a legend. Because it depends, of course, like all of these things, it depends on your definition of a legend, right? I mean, that's basically what it boils down to, right? So, I mean, for me, he's 100% a legend, because in my definition of a legend is someone like Gini came to the club when we weren't doing so well, ended up ending the 30-year being part of the team that ended the 30-year wait for a league title, before that won the Champions League, scored some beautiful goals that we will never ever forget. The two, you know, the two goals against Barcelona, you know, I mean, the goal against Middlesbrough, one of the most important goals of the century that was for Liverpool. And you know, it depends. For me, he's definitely a legend, because that is my definition of legend. Now, I understand the other argument of, well, he's not as good at football as Gerrard. Okay, I'll give you that. Okay, but no one is. So if you're going to put, you know, rank them in terms of how brilliant they are at football, then, you know, you put Gerrard in, like, you know, one of the top 10 players of all time for any club, you know, and he's not up there. Okay, but he's a Liverpool legend because of where he's taken the club, or he's been part of the team. It's always the team. He's been a really huge part of this team that has taken us you know, from doubters to believers, to use that old line, but it's taken us so, so far. And he's been integral to that all the way through. And he's been a credit to himself, never heard any trouble, any even slight, you know, hint of any trouble coming from him. He's just been an ultimate professional, brilliant guy. And so, yeah, 100% a legend. I mean, if you've got a different definition to me than legend, then okay. But I don't know. I think I'm right. what do you think, Steve?
Honestly, like, I don't, you know, I don't pay too much attention to like what people think about legend status and that stuff, just because, you know, we're all different. We all kind of have different terms and definitions for all that, like you said, Owen. But for me, what it comes down to is, am I going to remember Gene Wijnaldum 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now? And that is 100% yes. You know, I'm always going to remember, you know, him being one of the first Klopp signings. You know, I'm going to remember those goals against Barcelona. I'm going to remember that goal against Middlesbrough. I'm going to remember him being on his knees after that Barcelona game with his hands up to the sky and how big that was. And I'll never, ever forget the send-off that he had today. Like, I literally am getting tears in my eyes and getting goosebumps just thinking about it because, honestly, he is just – again, for me, he sums up the Klopp era. He sums up this team. I'm really sad thinking about him not being on the team next year. And honestly, though, out of all the people who lost Suarez and Torres and Coutinho and everything, you know, I'll always think back on Gini Wijnaldum no matter what, and always have a smile on my face for everything he's done for us. And he'll always be welcome back. He'll never have to pay for a beer again in Liverpool. But yeah, I'm gonna miss him a lot. Legend for me, I guess, is what I'd say. He'll never be forgotten. But Sophie, I think you have to be the one that wraps it up.
He's a legend, isn't he? Like, as Owen said, you know, what you classify as a legend is your own personal definition at the end of the day. But a legend is somebody who gives their all and never gives up. And Jeannie, everything you've just said, all three of you, you've wrapped him up in a nutshell about how important he is to this team and how, you know, I'm going to get upset because... Jeannie means the world to me. Seeing him go was very difficult because he was, like Steve just said, he was the first player of the Klopp era, really. He set everything in motion. He's been there from day one for all of it. He's seen the highs with us. He's seen the lows with us. And he's never once swayed away from us. He's always been a Liverpool fan. And it's very difficult for me to sit here and think that I'm never going to see him in that midfield, that I'm never going to see a celebration with Virgil van Dijk again, that I'm never going to see that Gini Wijnaldum smile. Like, more than just a player for me. And you can rank your legends and say, oh, well, he's not a legend because he's not like Steven Gerrard. No one will ever be like Steven Gerrard was. But to be a legend, you don't have to reach Steven Gerrard status. You can be a legend in your own right. And I think, as Steve rightly said, nobody's going to forget Gini Wijnaldum anytime soon. Nobody's going to forget his song. You know, years from now, when that song comes on, you will still sing do-do-do-do-do-do Gini Wijnaldum. Like, he will always be welcome back in Liverpool. And as far as I'm concerned, that man will forever be a legend because he revolutionised the way we play football in Liverpool. He was the part of the rebuild. And for me, he is a massive part of what this team is going to be from now on. Our midfield and our front three and our defence will never be the same because he was part of what made it so great. And whatever man comes along that's got to step into his shoes better start running quickly because they've got a lot of ground to make up for what arguably is a wonderful player. And everyone's going to miss Gini. I don't care who you are, but he's a legend, club legend. He always has been, always will be, and we are really going to miss Jeannie. I am really going to miss Jeannie.
We all are. And I'm going to take this water. Cheers to you, Jeannie Wijnaldum.
Hang on.
Dr. Pepper, of ours. Yeah, there we go. Everyone, we all raise our non-alcoholic beverages. I love it. But I think that was a good little send off for us. We're going to be doing a Genie Wijnaldum appreciation night as well, so we'll let all you know. And if you guys haven't yet, everyone in the chat, you know, keep your thoughts coming, and like and subscribe if you haven't yet. Go check out Zane Talk Sports and Cop Bond Podcast as well. You do awesome work. Bazane, I wanted to touch on this. Maybe when you were jumping in, I asked Owen about his thoughts on the center backs and how Nat Phillips and Reese Williams have been instrumental for us getting to where we are now. So what are your thoughts on Nat and Reese and just overall how they've done this season for us?
I think they've done brilliantly. I think that every single game they played over their level. They played so much better than people expected. And maybe it is their level. We just kind of never saw it. Because it's hard to even think about the mistakes they've made. I don't think there have been that many. And maybe they're not the fastest center backs, but I think they've been so instrumental because in the beginning and in the middle of the season, we had such uncertainty in the center back position. It kept changing all the time. We had no stability. And then when Kabak came along, we could kind of have some sort of stability with Kabak and Phillips. But then Kabak got injured. And Reese, he had a bit of shaky game against, I think it was FA Cup against United. But he just forgot about it and he put such good performances. And I just don't have words for it because I think they are a big reason why we are where we are today. I think there is not enough praise for me to say to them because they've been really, really good. And I hope that we see them both or one of them in the Liverpool squad in the future as well, because I just can't thank them enough.
Yeah. And you know, the thing you think about Nat Phillips, right? He probably just saved Liverpool £20 million, something like that, just with his performances. I mean, he's proven that he's a Liverpool player. He's proven that he's good enough. And especially think about him lining up against with a guy like Van Dijk or Gomez, something like that. I think he'd even excel even more having that pace next to him. You know, that being said, you know, obviously he'd be fourth, fifth option at best probably with it when we're completely healthy. So I think he's earned the right to get what he wants. So if he wants to go to a place where he can play regular first team football, then I think we should honor that and we'd be able to get a decent, you know, pay for him, I think. That being said, I really hope he sticks around. And then a guy like Reese Williams, I would love to see him go on loan to like a top championship club or, you know, something like that. So he can go get some first team minutes because he's proven that he has a bright future as well. You know, only 20 years old. Like you said, going up in these last five games, Manchester United, all these games, and just, you know, he may be, I can count on one hand how many mistakes he's made over the last five matches. That being 20 years old, being thrusted into all must win games, that is absolutely remarkable what he's done. Sophie, what do you think about Reese Williams and Nat Phillips and, you know, how instrumental they were for us to get here and also their long term future with the club?
Look, I think nobody in their right mind can discount how wonderful a job these two lads have done. They were thrown well and truly in the deep end with an anchor around their ankles, weighted down. No one expected them to come in and be able to produce the quality they have. Are they world class? No. Have they been a substantial pairing at the back for us that has held strong enough for us to get top four? Absolutely. Should they be praised? Without a shadow of a doubt. I think Nat Phillips has shown the quality he has as an out-and-out defender. He's very good. He's not the quickest, but he's very good at reading the game. He's very good aerial as well. We've seen, you know, the memes, and for God knows how long now, of Nat Phillips practicing in training, and all he does is just head cinder blocks together. Like, he's a fantastic player. As of Quebec, when he first signed, was happy, not really that fussed anymore. But I think Reese Williams has done a fantastic job for a lad who's so young. I think pretty much everything has kind of been covered over the last few podcasts, over the last few weeks, about how I feel about those two lads. I'm very pleased with them. I think they've played brilliantly for us. They've done the job they were asked to do, which is not many people could do at their age with their experience level. I would like to see Nat Phillips stay, but I understand wholeheartedly if he chooses to move on, because he is only young. He can still get first team football in a lower league team. I completely stand by him if that's what the decision he chooses to go for. I just would love to keep him. And that's just purely selfish reasons, to be truly honest with you. Reece Williams, I think, needs to be loaned out. Loan him out to a championship team. He's never going to get any more time now. Now the season's done, he's never going to get a sniff of Premier League football with Liverpool. He needs to move on, try and get some experience somewhere else, and then he will settle at a mid-table team. I can't ever see him staying at Liverpool or coming back to us. He's a wonderful kid, and he's got a lot of potential, but his potential doesn't suit a fully strength Liverpool. And that's the sad part of it. It doesn't. He's done a very good job. He's done a very good service for us. But ultimately, longevity-wise, I don't see him wearing a Liverpool shirt for much longer.
That's a hot take right there.
For me, though, it depends. It depends, because I don't follow the Portuguese league, but my friend Jamie, I was watching the football with, he told me that Sebastian Coates is captaining Porto, and he captained them to the Portuguese league this week. And, you know, if we can keep Reece Williams for like 10 years, you know, because he'd only be 30, I reckon he'd be a great player in 10 years. It depends on the longevity you're thinking of. It's the same with like Quivín Kelleher. I think he's got an extraordinary amount of talent for a reserve goalkeeper, but he's not going to get in above Alisson, is he? But, right. You know, I'd like to see with both Reece Williams and Kelleher to send them out on loan, but for like 5 years, give them good contracts so that they can come back when they're ready in a few years. No,
you did. Yeah, I would love that too, because I think, because when you think about it, I mean, you have Kelleher, and I know we have an influx of young goalkeepers behind him as well. But he's showing me, I'd be comfortable having Kelleher just be our backup keeper next season, to be honest. I think he's shown that he can do that. But when I think about Williams, I completely agree. There's no harm in sending him out on loan for 3 years. Who knows what's going to happen with Gomez and his injury? That's a pretty nasty knee injury. You know, is he going to be the same player? I don't know. And then you'll still have Billy the Kid. You know, he's what, 18, something like that. Like, I think center back, like, there's no reason why we can't just loan these guys out for a few years and get experience and then see what happens. We learned this year you can never have too many center backs.
Can I just add something?
Absolutely.
Because we can't also forget Kabak, because he maybe didn't play a lot of games for us, but he put some really important performances when we needed the most, and he tried really, really hard. And we have to remember he is also 20. So I just don't want people to take him for granted only because he hasn't played the last couple of games, because, yeah, his first game was a bit shaky, but that makes total sense. But we just cannot forget about him, whether he stays at Liverpool or he doesn't, because he became a part of the team pretty, pretty fast. And you can see how much Liverpool means to him, and he's already, like, friends with everyone there. So I just want to, basically thank him as well. Phillips and Williams, they did a great job, but so did Kabak as well.
I think there's no denying what those, you know, those three lads have done for us this season. You can't take away from any of it. But I think when you look at Liverpool, who's coming back, we don't really know what Joe Gomez is going to be like. That is a nasty knee injury, and I still refuse to acknowledge or accept that he just fell down on his own. Like, that doesn't happen. Look at Virgil's knee, where he got crunched, and it's nowhere near as bad as Gomez's. I just think with Konate coming in, and I'll be not now, with Konate coming in, Virgil coming back, Gomez coming back, if we keep Nat Phillips, if we keep Kabak, I don't see the point. I understand Owen's point of view of sending him out on loan for a couple of years, getting him experience and bringing him back. But I just think by the time you're ready to bring him back, what quality of player is going to be out there? If we've got this star quality centre-backs now, we're not going to settle for anything less in the future. We're going to be looking for a Virgil van Dijk replacement eventually. We're going to be looking for, you know, a Gomez and a Konate replacement. That's going to happen. In 5 years' time, you don't know what wonder kid's going to come up. You don't know what person Liverpool are going to find, what their scout and Mickey Edwards is going to find somewhere, you know, in the deep dark realms of football. Mm-hmm. You don't know that yet. And to put that hope on Reece Williams, say, oh, we're going to loan you out for a couple of years, and then when your player development is right, you can come back to us. I think that's given a poor kid a lot of false hope.
I don't know if it's necessarily false, because I think he could turn into a truly brilliant defender.
That's if. But what type of defender he becomes might not be the type of defender we need. And that's just putting a lot of pressure and a lot of open, empty promises potentially on a young lad whose career could be developed elsewhere. Because I know for me, if I'm offered a potential dream job, I'm going to want that job with every fibre of my being, and I'm going to start putting my blinkers on and not taking that opportunity there because, oh, wait, Liverpool might want me back one day. And I feel like if Reece Williams is going to be that centre-back we need, sell him. Let him go on a three-year contract somewhere else. And if he turns into that star player, go back in for him. Go back in for him, because if he loves Liverpool the way he thinks he loves Liverpool, and Liverpool come knocking on the door again, he'll come back. I think if it's meant to be, let him be. But I think you've got to let that kid go. Go and get experience and develop a player without any strings attached to his parent club. Sometimes you've got to cut the tie and you've got to say enough is enough. Out into the big world you go. Go and do what you need to do. And if you're ready, I'll call you back. I feel like keeping him on that leash, it's not going to help that kid at all. I don't think. But that's just me.
I see your point. Yeah, okay.
That's fair. That's definitely fair. But shifting gears a little bit from the center backs, the other thing I want to talk about is, one of our main lads who's in our chat all the time here, Chris Wells, was actually at the match tonight. He enjoyed it. Felt good to be back at Anfield. Felt like ages. Atmosphere was good. Helped us move the ball quicker today. Always good to see a win. And, Sophie and I have talked about it a lot on our podcast that, we might be a team that has been impacted maybe a little bit more than others because the Anfield atmosphere is that good. But, and I wanted to get your thoughts on just, do you feel like the atmosphere, may have lifted the boys a little bit today, and also just the impact that the crowd's going to make next season for us as well?
Well, we can only keep our fingers crossed for next season as it stands. But yeah, today, I mean, you could see it, Chris Welsh putting in the comments there, it helped us move the ball quicker. I think that's really good. The love between the crowds and the team. Trent put something on Instagram about it as well. And every time you talk to any of our players about how they feel about the crowds, yes, it's like trying to play with, I don't know, like one eye closed or something like that. It's like, we've missed it. I mean, we've definitely missed it more than some teams, like West Ham, for example, just because a lot of their fans really, and I totally understand, don't like their ground. Their own fans don't like their own stadium, which is a huge problem. And other teams as well, with the Glazers at United, there's this friction. There are some people who, there's lots of friction in the team. Whereas all Liverpool fans at the moment, since Klopp's come in, I mean, it's all okay. You get some debates here and there, but basically it's all harmony and joy, isn't it? It's all positive and it's all like we're all, getting along because the team's just brilliant and we feel this connects with the team. They feel the connection with the stadium, with the fans, and it's so important. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful to see them back and to hear them singing You'll Never Walk Alone, and it's just, it's extraordinary. I've lived in other countries for a long, long time. I lived in Liverpool back in 1998, 99, and I used to go to as many matches as I could, and since then, I don't know. It's just always been too expensive, basically, to go. So like loads of people around the world follow them from afar. And I can see, you can see even on TV, you can see the bonds there between Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool. Wasn't always there, but between Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool and the fans. And it's beautiful that everybody can, 10,000 at least today, could get to experience that.
Yeah, it was awesome. I wish I could have been a part of that. I'm very jealous of our man, Chris Welch, here. But Zani, going over to you, I mean, do you think that, it may have caused some of our players to have better performances. Like, you know, I've always said that I feel like our team is full of performers. They want to play on the biggest stage in front of the crowds. And I thought, especially today, Sadio Mane and Bobby Firmino were back to their old selves. I thought they were both fantastic. So, you know, what were your thoughts on the crowds?
First of all, I just want to say, like, it was very emotional to hear "You Never Walk Alone" again with all the fans singing. Very, very emotional. And I think it was for players as well. And I think it couldn't have come at a better time. Like, the most important game of the season. And we had 10,000 fans in the ground. It was amazing. And talking about players, I think it helped a lot. And as you said, too, Bobby always plays the best when he plays with fans. It happened also when we had fans. It was in December, January time. It looked like he is starting to get in form again. And today it confirmed again. And Mane, I think he I will always defend Mane, but I think he was off form. And today he played a really, really, really good game. And not only because he scored those goals. Yeah, there were a couple of mistakes, but everyone makes mistakes. But his energy, it felt like it's back to the levels it was before. And I think fans really helped him, because when you think about it, he's had COVID, he has no confidence, he doesn't have any family here. So for him to go and play to those 10,000 people, I think it was really important to him. And when that first goal went in, I think a huge weight probably was off his shoulders, and he felt support, so he just kept on going. I think that helped not only him, but as you said, Bobby, and probably the whole team massively.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you're spot on. What do you think, Soph?
Yeah, spot on. I don't think there's much more to add to that. I think, you know, Zane's definitely hit the nail on the head with everything she's just said there. I feel like she's just completely just sussed it up, you know, summed it up in a nutshell really well there. So I can't really think of anything else I'd want to add to that. That wouldn't just be repeating what she's just said.
I completely agree. I mean, it was just nice to see, because I think a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, but there was a small subset of people, I think, were writing off Mane and Firmino, you know, saying that they're both washed up, they're both done. And I think that today, I guess, kind of showed that this has been a weird season for everybody, fans, coaches, players, officials, everybody. And next year when we're healthy, hopefully, fingers crossed, we have some fans in the stands consistently. I think we'll see the real Sadio Mane. And for me, it was just great today, because, you know, getting those two goals in front of the Liverpool faithful, but it's what it meant to him. You could just see the smiles on his faces when he got those goals. And you know, I do wish that Mo was able to get one as well, so he could have got that golden boot. But honestly, for me, it was seeing how happy Mane was. You know, he's even verbally come out and said that he didn't even know what was wrong with him this season. He went to go see a specialist to see if something physically was wrong with him, because he had no idea why he wasn't up to snuff. And he definitely needed that. And I think this, for the entire team, it was just a great way to close out the season. Great win, finished third place. Nobody thought we'd finish third place. 5 points behind United, finish ahead of Chelsea, who went out and bought Ziyech and Werner and Havertz and Mendy and Chilwell and Thiago Silva, and they still finish below us. Like, that's absolutely remarkable.
Yeah.
Again, second team since Fergie's retired, only the second team to finish in the top four after winning the Premier League title. It's incredible. I'm very happy that this season's over. Definitely been so stressful. I think we're all ready for some time off. But I don't know about you guys, and Owen, I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I mean, I think Liverpool sent a message to the entire league. You better watch out for us next season, because when we get healthy, when we get our 12th man back with the Anfield atmosphere, if we had all these injuries and finished third, what's going to happen when we get healthy and maybe even bring in some extra bodies?
Yeah, I think
I agree.
Football. A lot of football is psychological. Like, the top level football, there isn't all that much difference in ability between a lot of the top players, but it's in the mind. It's what you can believe you can do, but also from your opposition, you know, what they think of you. You know, a lot of people remember watching Man United in the 90s, winning all that they won. And then in the 2000s, they, you know, lots of teams would turn up to Old Trafford and capitulate. And then we've seen over the past 5 years, people doing the same to Liverpool. And then Burnley get the win, and then other teams, and then six teams win at Anfield on the, in a row, which is epic, because everything Klopp's Liverpool does is epic, including losing. We lose in epic ways. And now to be top of the form table, to get whatever it was, 27 points of the last 30, or whatever it was, 26 out of the last 30, or plus one for luck, I don't know. It's going to, you know, every other team's going to think about that over the summer. I mean, you mentioned Chelsea. None of their players have scored over 10 league goals, despite all the millions that they spent. I mean, they're going to be worried. They're going to be,
specialists.
But pardon, they're what specialists?
Offside specialists.
Yes, exactly. Especially Timo Werner. Yeah, totally. But basically the rest of the league, yes, they're going to spend the summer worrying about Liverpool, and they're going to look at the replacements we're bringing in, and we're going to attract the top replacements because it's Champions League football. And who's going to say no when you're down to your ninth choice centre back and you still finish third, and there's still a lot of mileage left in the tank, and big Virgil, who has proved himself to be the best defender in his absence in Premier League history, because everyone else is just pales in comparison. You can see, like, anyone from any team. So to get him back, and Mo Salah, just a quick stat from Michael Reid on Mo Salah. He's the second player in Liverpool's history to finish as the club's top scorer in all competitions in each of his first four seasons since Harry Chambers from 1919 to 1923. Oh my God. I mean, if you're a professional footballer, if any of you are professional footballers and you have the chance to come to Liverpool to play with Mo Salah and Virgil and Jordan Henderson and Fabinho and Thiago, etc., Trent, Robbo, Alisson, what are you going to say?
No, thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, I just want to, I'll see if this works. It's just come on my phone. Let's see if I can share this quickly. Oh, no, it's not going to work. Oh, well, I was trying to try and share. I don't know why it won't let me. Trent, just speaking on the mentality of our team and, you know, the fight that we managed to get top four in a season where we were decimated by injuries, Trent has just put up on Twitter a picture of them walking around Anfield and said, next year we're coming back for the trophies. Thank you for all the support till the very end, Red. We'll always find a way. And for me, that is just the epitome of the mentality monsters, isn't it? How we will never give up. And even on the last day, we've just clinched third place when we, at one point, we were thinking we weren't even going to get Europa place, and already our players are looking forward to the next season, the title run next season, the challenge, the trophies, the glory. And that just shows what Liverpool is. And alongside having, like Owen just said, those wonderful players like Salah and Fabinho and Thiago and Virgil and Alisson and goal, you want to play as a professional footballer, you want to play with the best of the best. But not only do you want to play the best of the best, you want to be the best yourself. You want to reinvent your role, and you want to reinvent. You don't want to be one of the best. You want to be the best. And I think people like Haaland, they're doing that now. They're reinventing that position. He's the wonder kid in that. And I think that's definitely just a sign of things to come for our team. And players will not only want to come to Liverpool to play alongside these greats, they'll want to come and cement themselves as a great. Because it's all well and good saying, oh, I played with the best of the best, but you also want to be the best of the best. And coming to a team like this, who you can shoot us down until we're mid-table, you can put everything against us. We've had so many injuries. We are injured players, missed more days combined than our season twice over. So that says something, doesn't it? And that speaks volumes for me as a Liverpool fan that I definitely support the right team. A team that has got the drive and will not just let this season be a factor. This is a blip, but but the best is still yet to come for me anyway.
Damn right. It's going to be an exciting offseason. With whatever happens, just getting healthy. And one good thing to see is no Van Dijk in the Euros. I feel bad for him, but that's great for us. One less guy that we have to think about with injuries. But we've covered on a lot. We'll be back next week for like our end of the season show. We'll talk about, you know, who our player of the season is. But before we close out with some fun trivia, I just wanted to quickly go around. Who is everyone's man of the match today?
Mane.
Genie.
Oh, I like Evan. Evan can come again.
Yeah, I'm going to go Genie too. Captain's performance today from Genie. So now we're going to close out now with some fun trivia questions. We like to just have a little fun, learn more about each other, and try and get some laughs in here. So if I think you have a few fun questions to kick us off here.
Okay, so first one, just thought we'd ease into them with the Liverpool thing. If you didn't support Liverpool, what team would you support instead and why?
So if I had to support another club, I'd probably support Borussia Dortmund because they have a lot of the same values. Klopp came there. They sing You Never Walk Alone. Fantastic fan base, very passionate fan base. So for me, it'd probably be Borussia Dortmund, but I don't want to think about supporting another club. I love this club too much.
I don't think I would watch football, to be fair, if I wouldn't be a Liverpool supporter, but if I would have to choose now, it probably would be Bayern. There's something about them I really, really like. I like the way they play. And yeah, I think it would be them.
Owen?
I'm going to go, I don't know, maybe some people won't like it, but just on the last few seasons, I would go with Bielsa's Leeds because they're utterly nuts to watch. They're always entertaining. And of course, I would never, like, yeah. I mean, like Zani said, I mean, I might not watch football all that much. I would still watch football, but I wouldn't be able to get behind Leeds as I get behind Liverpool. But I do love Bielsa. I do think he's an absolute loony. And he plays football in the right way. I could never get behind Atletico or, like, you know, one of the Big Sam teams. I could never get behind one of those. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so maybe Bielsa's Leeds just because they're nuts, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd go with Steve and pick Dortmund because Dortmund, like Steve just said, they're very close in the way they play, the way they run their club, the managers, Klopp was there. It just seems like a German Liverpool to me, and I think if I had to, I mean, I've never been anything but a Liverpool fan. I was born and raised one, I'll die one, but if I had to pick one, I would definitely... I think I'd have to go with Borussia Dortmund. Okay, second one, fun one. If you were a superhero, which of your real-life friends would you pick as your sidekick and why?
Oh.
So while I give you a minute to think, I've already got my answer, so you can have a few minutes. I would pick my best friend, and her nickname would be the Ginger Ninja because she's 5'2". She's just crazy. She will literally roll around the floor completely stone cold sober and make like high noises. She would be the person I would go to bat for. Like, I'd go into battle with her knowing that this crazy little ball of gingerness next to me would absolutely decimate anyone beside me. Like, she's psycho and I adore her. And I just think it would be a hilarious combination with the Ginger Ninja.
I love that nickname. That's so good. Oh, that's a good question. I think for me, I'd go with you, Sophie.
Oh, thanks.
You'd be my you know, my little number two. You'd be the shushing Sophie, and you'd just be able to quiet everybody with your powers. So I just love that because I hate everybody. So I'd just be like,
quiet them, you just walk over and just shh. Yeah, drop that on them. Just like that.
I'll take that. I'll take that. I mean, I don't give off like sidekick vibes, but I'll take it.
I think for me it would be probably also my best friend Greta. She is sort of a silent killer, so like she can kill you with kindness, and she can like attract a lot of attention to herself, and then I could do all the things I can do because she would be like kind of the decoy for me. So that would be that.
That's a good sidekick.
These are great answers. I would choose my friend Rene. Rene is about 6'6". He's one of my best friends here in France. He's got really long dreadlocks. Like I think he last got his hair cut in about 1991, and brushed it as well. And he's sort of a surprising guy because normally, you know, tall guys with dreadlocks, you think that they're stoners and things like that, but he's not really. I mean, he's I've got nothing against stoners, by the way, but he speaks fluent languages, many of them. If you've got a problem with your washing machine, you could call Rene. If you've got a problem with the authorities, he would step in. He's also my lawyer, so I think he would be sort of like my dreadlocked multilingual amazing guy. Can do many things. He's a brilliant, I think he knows how to program like satellites in space. Like the military want to hire him, but he says no. And he's already a bit of a superhero of mine. So yeah, my pal Rene.
Oh, how lovely is that? And you've all got come up with really nice answers. And I've gone, my little psychopathic ginger best friend.
But that's a great answer.
Like she would be a psych. Like honestly, she'd get arrested before I did, and I could just be like, save the world. Okay. I've only got two more. So next absolutely daft one. If you were thrown into a gladiator battle and you were not allowed to use a conventional weapon, what non-conventional household item would you use as your weapon?
Ooh.
Probably, you know, like the meat hammer. Like that one.
The meat cleaver. Hold on.
I
would go with a frying pan, one of those big massive frying pans that you can get a good whoosh with. And I think, you know, someone's coming running at me, all I've got to do is pull my hands back and give them a good whack with this frying pan, and while they're on the floor just overhead. Thought about this far too much and too much. But I'd definitely go for a frying pan. You could take knees out with it, you could take heads off with it. You could break a couple of elbows. Like, you could hit them in the hip. Yeah. Use the handle in the ribs. Yeah. Brilliant. Thought it through. Steve?
Tough. Yeah, I think I would take, like, I'd probably take, like, a mirror or something, because that way I can just, like, shatter it over somebody's head, and then when it shatters, then I have a nice sharp piece of glass that I can jab you with.
But so do they.
But also, if you're really ugly, I can just hold it up and that person would just be like, oh.
Brilliant, love it. Owen.
Well, I've got a huge phobia of fighting. I'd much rather just be punched than actually have to do the punching. So I'd use a fire extinguisher to try and repel people away, just keep them away from me. And if it doesn't work, I suppose I could boss them with the bottom of it, but I would really try not to.
Oh, I love that.
You can tell who the violent one is, can't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, Sophie, you're kind of shaping yourself up here. I mean, your sidekick and then your weaponry here. It's,
I could be, that could be my superhero weapon. I could have a frying pan. Ash could have a wok. Oh, we'd be flying. Love it. We could be like, brilliant. Okay, last one. If you were able to erase one event from history without messing up the present with no consequences whatsoever, what event would you remove permanently so it never happened?
COVID. Easy.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There were plenty of very, very, very serious answers we could give here. COVID's a great one. Can I give a flippant one and say Michael Thomas in 1989?
Of course you can. Steve?
Hillsborough. I was going to say, I say Hillsborough, but if I had to do one like a little bit more fun, I would just say the Gerrard slip season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My one was the Holocaust.
Mm.
I would remove that from history, erase it, eradicate it, so it never, ever happens and would never happen again. Daft footy one would be Torres leaving. I would erase that so it never happened, so he never left, so he stays forever. But yeah, that's all I've got.
Well, I like it. There's some good way, good things to wrap up there, have a little bit of fun there. Yeah, and I guess, you know, just kind of want to leave it. I want to leave it with this thought here. Jordan Henderson just tweeted out a picture of him and Gini Wijnaldum. So I just want to leave this show, leave this episode with this comment from Jordan Henderson. Thank you, Gini Wijnaldum, for everything you've done for this team and football club. It's been a pleasure sharing a changing room and some incredible success with you. You'll be sorely missed, but I wish you and your family all the best in the future. You never walk alone. So thank you, Gini. Thank you for everything you've done. And honestly, hell of a season. Very happy the season's over, to be honest. Hopefully get back to some normalcy. But hey, top three, absolutely love it. Absolutely buzzing. Owen and Zane, thank you so much for joining us on our last post-match of the season to celebrate finishing in the top three. Going forward, we will not be celebrating top three finishes, only champions or busts. But thank you so much for having us on, and I'm very, very looking forward to doing some more collaborations with you two going forward. So you guys are awesome, awesome, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Just the big thank you to everybody who's been in the chat today. You guys have been amazing, and I hope you enjoy celebrating your top three win as much as we are going to ourselves. This will be it, as Steve's just said, from Yank to the Cop for our Friday, our post-match. We'll have no more post-match, no more watch-along for the rest of the season. However, we have got some really fun Yanks versus Brits content coming your way over the break before we get ready for our preseason, as well as a two-weekly transfer window show that we will be replacing our Friday final word. So we look forward to seeing you in the off-season in our chat and on our videos. But yeah, Thank you again, Zane and Owen, for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Anytime you, Owen, Zane, anytime you want to come back, we'd love to have you on.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Can I just leave you with just one final thought?
Yes.
When we had played 28 games this season, I've got the table after 28 games, we were on 43 points in eighth place. Everton were 3 points above us with a game in hand.
Wow. Now they're finished 10th. Yep. That's the perfect way to end it right there. That is right there. Absolutely love it. Absolutely buzzing. Go out, celebrate, stay safe, enjoy the time with the family. Everything's opening up now, so be safe, enjoy it. And we'll be back soon. So keep an eye out for our announcements. Thank you again, everybody in the chat. Like and subscribe if you haven't yet. Go check out Zane Talk Sports. Go check out the Cop On Podcast. Awesome, awesome work being done over there. So we appreciate you all. Thank you so much. And up the Reds, baby.
Hi, guys.